If there is something that unites all of us now across the world, it's a thought of embracing this quarantine and making the most out of it. Things that would otherwise seem to take a backseat in our former hectic lifestyle have now taken the main place. And with none of us knowing what the future beholds, we know one fact for sure. Business economies are drastically changing, more powerful and faster than they dynamically did in the usual times. Is there something that we could do to tackle this and spend our efforts fruitfully? Welcome to the podcast, and we hope you're all in good health. You're listening to Aishwarya, and with me today, I have Shubha Bhaskaran, the Enterprise Relationship Manager for LinkedIn Learning. She's worked with many organizations in imparting the true value of learning and is ready now to highlight the importance of having meaningful knowledge experiences to cope up with the times. Thank you for joining us today, Shubha. We're extremely glad to host you.
Thanks for inviting me, Aishwarya. This is very exciting, and I'm so glad to be a part of this and learn from you all as much as I'm hoping that you will learn from me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Okay, so tell us all about what you do as a co-member of LinkedIn Learning team. So what kind of impact you're creating in different organizations?
Of course, yeah. So I am a relationship manager at LinkedIn, specifically focusing on LinkedIn's learning solutions. So in a nutshell, my job mm-hmm. is to grow our footprint with some of the largest companies in the U.S., typically the Fortune 500s. And it's an interesting role because we don't look at it as, you know, I have a product and I want to sell it to a certain customer. But instead, we look at how do we really transform and enable the learning culture at a company? And how do we really help you see learning as something that's going to help you succeed, both as an individual and as a company? So it's a very exciting, environment or situation that we're in. And that's really where the next big disruption in human capital is really happening in the learning and talent development space. So I feel very, very privileged to be a part of it.
That's great. As a solution, you not only give people the advantage of using a product or using the services, rather it's more to do with the value of learning, giving them a scope to explore something that's so, you know, contributing to the betterment of themselves.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting because LinkedIn has been, you know, it is the world's largest professional network. Mm-hmm. So over the last, and I've been with LinkedIn for almost 7 years now, and it's been very interesting to see the journey of, you know, where we started as a company, which is just wanting to be your professional identity online. You know, so that's where LinkedIn really started. So people had paper resumes or resumes on Word, and then LinkedIn became this place where you would move your resume online. You know, so in a way, it became, it kind of became a place where you would go to find a job or mm-hmm. You would go to post a job if you were a recruiter. And over the years, it's evolved into this platform where people not just come and talk about their own experiences and what they've done in the past, but they're also building their professional identity as it exists today. You know, so who are you as a person? So Aishwarya as a product manager, as an individual, as an employee, that's your identity on LinkedIn. And what we realized was, how do we help this person, this member, go from where they are today to where they really want to be in the future?
You put it in the best way, actually. So like calling it, how are you in the current situation and where do you want to be? LinkedIn does a very good job. And so not only helping you have an identity of yourself in the current times, but helping you go where you want with respect to your career is a very, very interesting feature that people can use through LinkedIn.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So why do you think this whole upskilling and continuous learning are very important, given the dynamic culture of most of the product companies today and exactly the remote working environment that we're currently dealing with?
I think you kind of answered the question within the question, you know. The culture or the world that we're seeing today is very, very rapidly evolving. You know, the shelf life of skills is decreasing every day. You know, it's under 5 years for most skills across industries and job functions. So anyone that you talk to in the last 5 years, they have to have learned something new to even keep their existing job, forget about moving to a better job or a higher position. And that's because, you know, skills are changing so rapidly that if you're not keeping yourself up to date, you know, someone else is going to come in and take that job, right? And I think that that's happening across industries. It's not specific to, you know, the internet industry or the software industry. It's happening across all industries. Today in my job, you know, I have the privilege of working with a lot of large companies across industries. So when I'm working with oil and gas, or when I'm working with even a farm implements company, they're talking to me about AI and data science. They're talking about, you know, how do we get tractors to be self-driving and automatically detect soil moisture so that they can plant the seeds at the right depth. You know, so I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be talking to a farming company about AI. You know, so I think that's what's happening today across the world. You know, so if you're not keeping yourself up to date and getting a sense of, you know, what's happening outside, you tend to become a frog in the well. And then you get like left behind, you know, and I think what's also very interesting is also the fact that, you know, we are learning every day in some way or the other. You know, for a lot of people, you know, maybe you're learning from, I mean, in a traditional work environment, you're probably learning every day from the colleagues who sit around you. You know, you're sharing ideas, you're brainstorming in team meetings. You're obviously learning from each other and seeing how you can do something a little bit better. But you're also today, you know, everyone listens to at least one podcast, you know, so there's something that you're learning out of, you know, spending 10 or 15 minutes on a podcast or even a radio show every day. You're watching YouTube videos, you're reading, I don't know, like a business article or something online. Even if you're reading a small post that someone has shared online, you're learning something. So let's not think that people are not learning. People are learning today. It's just that the way they are learning is so different now than the traditional classroom and, you know, teacher sitting in front of you with a blackboard and asking questions. I mean, let's not think that that's what learning is, because the meaning of learning has completely changed now. You know, so people are learning today. That's the reality. Question is, you know, do organizations really realize that? Do companies really understand that way in which people learn has changed today? And are they adapting themselves to make use of that trend or not? I think that's the bigger question. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, especially now, we're given, you know, the whole COVID situation across the world, where everything is all of a sudden overnight forced to go virtual and forced to go remote. We're learning every day. I mean, I'm learning how to balance my meetings and my son's e-learning on a daily basis. It's not a skill that I would take for granted, for sure. A lot of people today are probably learning how to do video conference calls for the first time. You know, sure, they've picked up the phone and dialed into a meeting before, but think about, you know, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. doing video calls, sitting at home. You know, it's a new thing for a lot of people. You know, and if you extend that, you know, to a new hire, or, you know, how do you really onboard new employees, or do these regular trainings and things like that you've already planned? It starts impacting everything. It starts impacting everything. You know, trade shows have gotten canceled. So companies are trying to figure out, how am I going to hold a show online? How am I going to do like a virtual fair where customers can come and take a look at my products? You know, so suddenly overnight, you know, people are grappling with, how am I going to make this work virtually? You know, whereas I want to say maybe just a couple of weeks ago, people probably thought, yeah, I'll work from home, you know, I'll do a couple of conference calls, and how hard can it be? Mm-hmm. And we're all now realizing that it's a lot harder than what we thought it was going to be. So I'd say we're learning every day, trying to figure out how to make it work.
Absolutely, and spot on for those wide ranges of examples that you just stated. I mean, I was totally agreeing with every little point that you stated, starting with, say, startups or enterprise companies, any companies of any level requiring the highest technology as possible. And AI, one thing about AI is I'm so happy to see AI is empowering a lot of communities. People who once thought that it was a very complex thing and something that was not totally related to what they were doing in the industry, is now changing the thoughts over AI and saying, hey, I know AI is going to be useful for me. And if not for learning, and if not for that sharing of knowledge about what AI is, I think this would not have been possible. And yeah, the current situation we are in, as you were just saying, figuring out how to connect with teams remotely, how to make video calls, how to keep each other motivated, and how to have more access to a lot of these learning tools, and, you know, realizing that we can pick up, say, a book or an article online or some videos on YouTube. All of these are living examples of how we are striving towards learning. And, you know, the best part about this is, you were just stating this, these are things that we do, and subconsciously we don't realize that it's a form of learning. So good thing that you pointed out to people that, hey, this is a form of learning, and it's not just a day-to-day activity that you're doing, but somewhere you're trying to progress towards being a better person that you are.
Very true. Very true. And I think it's important, because a lot of times, you know, we have these biases built in within our head. We think that I need to have a printed certificate in front of me on my desk, and only then I'm going to believe that I've actually learned something. While it's not true, you know. So the definition of how you how do you prove that you've learned a skill is being tested in a lot of ways today. It's not necessarily always through an assessment or an exam. Sure, that is required still for if you take something like project management, if you take something like compliance, you know, there are fields where you have to have a certification. But there are, for every certification that you do, there are probably 100 other skills that you already possess that nobody really came and certified you on, or you didn't write a 100 question test on it for people to believe that you're good at it, right? So if I take something like collaboration, if I take something like problem solving or negotiation, these are like core skills that, you know, you are building along the way, regardless of, you know, what role, what industry, what level you're in. And it's important to recognize, you know, add that to your LinkedIn profile, get people to validate that for you. That's how you build your career, you know, because you're not going to wake up one fine day and make a list of 20 skills and start walking up to all your friends and asking them to endorse you, right? So I think that's also important for people to realize that as you're doing your performance reviews with your boss, you know, what are the skills that that your boss or your manager is highlighting as skills that you've been good at over the last quarter or over the last year? You know, are you going back and adding that to your LinkedIn profile? I think things like that is what being conscious about your capabilities and slowly building that external credibility is really all about.
That totally makes sense. This is an alternative angle or an alternative approach to what people conventionally think, like, you know, you need a certificate or you need like a proof stating that you have qualified learning this particular skill. But certain skills like, say, team building or negotiation or presenting in front of somebody, all of these things, I think it takes somebody to validate you, not in the form of a certificate. They just have to give more notes on how you are capable of doing the skill. So I think LinkedIn is doing a very good job in getting that to you. You can ask people for recommendation. You can ask people to validate your skill by just promoting you for this particular skill, by just ranking you and saying, hey, you're good at the skill, which is a very good thing. It's an alternative to what people otherwise think as getting a certificate or getting some degree with respect to certain skills that can be otherwise earned in a different way.
True.
Moving on, as a woman leader who's surpassed a lot of career challenges and ascended growth levels, if you had to share your thoughts with early and mid-senior ambitious women out there to change the world, what would it be?
Wow, that's a loaded question, I want to say. you know, but, you know, when I've thought about this, and I thought about, you know, my last almost 18 years building out my career, you know, there's a few things that come to mind. I would say the first thing is Have a dream, you know, have something that you aspire for and something that you see yourself becoming or doing in your life. And I want to say, you know, the younger we are, the more courageous we are, the more brash we are. So we tend to have audacious goals, and we're not limited or confined by life yet. So definitely, you know, have a dream, you know, when you're starting out. And it doesn't matter. Don't be your own limitation in thinking that the dream is too big. You know, so a lot of times I think what's very unique about women is we tend to be our biggest roadblocks. You know, so try to be. I think like just recognizing that itself is a big first step. You know, so I would say number one, you know, have a dream, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be socially endorsed in any way, but it's your dream, and don't be afraid or don't be shy of having it, right? Second thing I would say is surround yourself with people who believe in you, you know, and I cannot stress the importance of this. You know, for me, this has been such a game changer throughout my life, you know, where you need to consciously go out there and find people who believe in you. And when I say believe in you, I mean people who will, you know, applaud you when you do the right things, and people who will call you out when you're doing things wrong or when you're shying away from your dream, you know. So make sure you surround yourself always with people who can be that kind of a supporter for you. And sometimes you might find those people in your family. Sometimes you might find those people in your friends, in your colleagues. It doesn't matter. They don't have to wear a certain kind of mask, you know, to be that for you. But make sure you're always surrounding yourself with, you know, with that kind of with those kind of people. Even when you're at work, when you find people who are putting you down, when you find people who are trying to dumb your dream down, just consciously move away. You know, move away and find a different community, right? The last thing I would say is, you know, don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. I feel like that's another thing, especially as women, we tend to, before we take that first step, we think like 100 times, you know, and by the time we decide to finally take that step, that opportunity has like passed. You know, so I remember one of my colleagues in HR in a job many years ago, he cited this very interesting example of how men and women apply for a job. He said when, you know, when a woman looks at a job description and she sees 10 bullet points out there listing all the requirements for the job, she will make sure that she meets at least 8 out of those 10 bullets before she even thinks about applying. And even if she does go ahead and apply, she's going to agonize over those 2 bullet points that she didn't meet and constantly worry about how she's going to respond to that when it comes up in the interview. When a man applies for the same job, he's going to look at maybe the first 3 or 4 bullets, and if he meets that, he's going to go ahead and apply. He's not agonizing over the remaining 6. And I feel that's so true when it comes to, I mean, it's not pretty, but it's true. You know, I feel like as women, we definitely do tend to overthink a lot of things. And I think that's the last of the things that I would say as advice, because, you know, just don't overthink it. You know, if it sounds marginally okay, jump at it. What's the worst that can happen? You know, you'll learn from it and you'll move on.
Beautifully put. And I can't stress enough on the fact of having a dream and trying to fight for it, strive for it, and have a lot of people around you who can, you know, back up to who you are as a person. And I would personally agree with you a lot more on the fact that women are very, very apprehensive about taking certain decisions, because I've also been there at that point. There are times when earlier, like a couple of years back, when as a student as well, I used to think a lot before taking any decision. I still have the habit of doing like a triage, like, you know, pros and cons. And but off late, I think one habit, if I have to call it, that I've picked up for myself is to be more open to trying out things. It's okay. And as you were just saying, it's okay if you fail, it's okay, but then at least you try.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I want to also say that when I said like, don't overthink it, you know, it doesn't mean make hasty decisions. Mm-hmm. It just means that, you know, a lot of times when you're thinking about, should I do this, should I not do this? you've looked at all the facts, you know, you've looked at all the data. I mean, you've seen that, you know, and the facts and the data is telling you something. But something beyond that, you have all of the data, you have all of the numbers, you have all of the research, but then there's something stopping you from making that jump. You know, and I think I'm talking about that phase where you're like, oh my God, I think this works. I think everything on paper looks great, but yet, you know, should I do this? And I think that's the part where I feel as women, we need to do better. And I say that even for myself. I find myself doing that as well a lot of times. And I force myself to be like, okay, let's not overthink it. You know, it's the facts are there, the figures are there. Let's go. You know, I think at LinkedIn, we have a very interesting philosophy or a culture, which is, you know, speed over process. You know, we'd rather go out, I mean, fix the car, get the car out the road when you have the wheels and the engine, and we'll fix the doors and paint it up as we go. If we're going to keep waiting for the car to be perfect, it's the race is going to be long gone, right? So I think it's very similar to that.
Certainly. It's amazing to see a lot of women like you and a lot of us in our day-to-day lives having that capacity to handle things on the plate and channelize the efforts across multiple avenues and still get the best out in each of these spaces.
One of the most common questions that people ask women is, do you think you have it all, or do you want to have it all? And I think it's a very interesting question, because, you know, the definition of all varies from person to person, whether you're a man or a woman. And it's very hard to give like a universal answer to that, because what is all to me may not be all to you.
True.
And maybe I'm happy with the all that I'm defining, which could be very different than the all that you look at, you know. So
I think the key here is to know what really matters to you as a person, and that is going to be your all. It's not going to be very similar to what the third person or the second person next to you is going to think. But finally, what matters to you, and what do you strive for, and what impact you want to create? And that makes your everything.
Mm-hmm. True.
Mm-hmm. So now that we're talking about a lot of these skills and how do we impact that kind of learning and, you know, these concepts, can you give us some tips for building personal brands on LinkedIn? What should people start with, and how should they find the right connections, and how do you maintain these across years?
Great question. You know, what you'll also see is your LinkedIn profile is a living or your LinkedIn identity. Is a living identity. It's just like your identity on, you know, Facebook or Instagram or any other social platform. You know, there's a core definition of you, which is, you know, where did you work, and where did you, you know, study, and what did you do? Where do you live? That are those core elements. But then your professional identity also evolves over time. You know, and as you get more comfortable with identifying who you are professionally, it's important to showcase that the right way on a platform like LinkedIn. You know, so a lot of times, you know, we see that people think of, you know, I would take my resume from a Word or wherever you've created it, and you would just copy paste the same thing on LinkedIn. So it would have your job title, it would have your company and stuff, but that's not all who you are as a professional. Like, my day job is being a relationship manager at LinkedIn, but is that the entire definition of me as a professional? Probably not. You know, I think, like, you know, when you think about it from that angle, there's a lot more that you can add to your LinkedIn profile. So at the very basic, I would say, you know, you have to have a professional picture. People relate to each other, or people relate to you better when they see your picture on, and I would say, goes without saying, like an updated professional picture, not a picture from when you got married 10 years ago, not a picture with sunglasses and a boat in the background. So people underestimate, you know, what a professional picture means. But, you know, anything that shows you in a professional environment, you don't have to wear a suit, but as long as it shows your face, you're smiling, you know, and there's nothing inappropriate in it, it should be fine. I also will say, try to add, material out there to support what you're saying about yourself. Let me give you an example. So let's say you are a product manager. Now obviously a lot of material that you build internally, whether it could be product documents or it could be, product release material, all of that stuff is probably confidential. You can't put it online on a public platform. But always think about what assets, public assets out there, can I include as part of my profile to validate, the work that you've done. So for a product manager, it could be probably a link to your product's website. It could be the link to a blog post that maybe you contributed to, where, you're talking about your product or someone's reviewing your product, or there's some content out there that is referencing the product that you have built, or even the feature that you've built if you're part of a larger product team. If you're in sales, like me, it can get even harder because I can't go and talk about, like the biggest deal that I sold to XYZ customer. But what I can do is talk about success stories that my clients have had. Every time I work with a client and they see success with LinkedIn Learning, we work with them to put together a case study, and then I will link that case study back in my profile because I know I made that happen. Because if your LinkedIn profile is just a lot of words out there, it doesn't have a lot of credibility attached to it. So the more credibility you can bring in through external assets, job-specific recommendations, that is going to make it that much more authentic and that much more credible. Last thing I would say is, make a conscious effort to, LinkedIn is actually making it very easy for you to build your network these days. So you can connect your email to LinkedIn. So every time you send an email to a new person, LinkedIn's going to ask you, do you want to connect with this person? Connect your calendar. So that way, if you have a meeting coming up, LinkedIn will prompt you saying, hey, you have a meeting coming up with Aishwarya in 15 minutes. Why don't you check out her profile so you know who she is? So I think those are like easy things, buttons that you just click on or off. So that way you're able to expand your network organically. You're not spamming people, and you're making more meaningful connections. Beyond that, I would say I would leave it to, just your comfort as a professional. If you're someone who likes to blog, likes to write and post and put content out there, go for it. Absolutely. It has massive value. But I also want to say that not everyone is comfortable with that. Not mm-hmm. everyone wants to do that. And that's fine. That's totally okay. You can still, build a meaningful network and build a strong following on LinkedIn without doing all of that. Just be your authentic self, So if you like writing, if you write, go putting content out there, go ahead and do it.
Awesome. That's such an actionable checklist that you've just stated.
Great. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
And what I really liked about this whole comprehensive way was it showed how LinkedIn can set an identity to a person in a way that they are, as in LinkedIn can be fine-tuned to suit you. And it's not like this one single platform where everybody has to follow the same method of setting up a profile. But, you can go ahead and have a profile that suits you in a better way for the person that you are versus another person who's completely different from who you are. So it's very flexible, and it's good to know that people can use LinkedIn in this way. So thank you very much for your time, Shabad. This has been a really interesting session for me personally as well, to getting to know how one can make use of the time, especially in the current outbreak period, in learning something new, updating their LinkedIn profiles, and how they can be a part of the larger learning community, and thereby, contributing a part and sharing skills, empathy, and knowledge. So yes, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you. I think it was really fun. You had some great questions, and I'm hoping to keep listening to the podcast and hear from other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and for the listeners, both Shubha and I hope you're doing good. And yeah, please stay safe, stay indoors, and learn as much as possible in the current time. Thank you.